Amen. Oh, glory to God. Say, no matter how big you are, you're not the body of Christ. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey, glory to God. There were just too many hot spots in that message. Are you here, somebody? Oh, my. Glory to God. All right, Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1. I'm happy. I think God handpicked the people he sent to us this year. Do you feel so? That God handpicked the people he sent to us in this men's conference this year. We're so happy. I'm happy. Amen. All right. Genesis 12 from verse 1. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto what? No, I can't hear you guys. Unto what? I want you to say it with some more gusto. Unto what? Unto a land I will show you. 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 Glory to God. I decree that today your eyes will be open. The living is not the most important part. The land they will show you is more important. Some people have left their father's house, but they also went into slavery from there. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? The living is not as important as the land they will show you. Some are eager to live, but they are not clear on the land God wants to show them. It's not every open door that is an open door to break through. Traps too have doors. They are also open doors. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Traps are also open doors. I've always loved animals. So I've always been chasing birds since I was young. And when we set the cage for them, the door is open. There's even something in the cage. But it's not a good open door. It's a door that once it shuts, no man can open. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? He said, leave. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham. He said, get thee out of thy country. And from thy kindred, and from your father's house, he said, unto what? A land that I will watch show you. Look at the next verse. And I will do what? I can't hear you. I will do what? God always has to show you before he makes you. Many people want God to make them, but they have no vision. God can't make you until he what? Shows you. Do you know before God told Peter, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, he showed him what bountiful fishing looks like. Well, somebody's not getting what I'm saying. Peter just caught fish that was making boat to sink. He first showed him the kind of fishing we are going to do. Then he said, you see these fishes, they will become men. I will make you fishers of men. God has to show you before he makes you. He said, I'll make of thee what? A great nation. So everybody here, how many of you know we are sons of Abraham? Yes. It's important you understand that there's a spiritual connection. He said, all those that are in Christ are now Abraham's seed. And we are fellow, we share in the same covenant that Abraham has. DJ, give me go back. He says, okay. Okay, know ye therefore that they which are of faith are same are what? Children of Abraham. Go back to Genesis 12. He said, to a land I will show you, he said, I'll make of thee a great nation. Every man here has a nation inside him. A nation. I'll make you a great nation. He said, I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse. Okay, he said, I'll bless thee and make your name great. And thou shalt be what? A blessing. So I will make your name great. I decree over anyone here, it's impossible for your name to be small. Said, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be what? A blessing. Next verse. It says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that cursed thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 4. It says, okay, and so Abraham what? Departed. All right. So, this morning, I just want to quickly share with us about the power of vision. The power of vision. God can't make you until he shows you. Just like prophet said, many people are too eager to leave Nigeria. Canada is not heaven. America is not heaven. And it doesn't mean you should not leave if God is telling you to leave. But the important thing is that the leaving is not the most important part. The land, it will show you. Don't leave without a vision. Don't leave just for bread and butter. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? There must be vision. Vision is the thing that outlives you. Are you here, somebody? There must be vision. Just like Ibe said earlier on, provision simply means for vision. Pro means for. So many people are praying for provision. What you really should be praying for is vision. Vision is what attracts provision. Pastor Mulumdeman also mentioned it. What you are seeing, what you recognize around is what you have already first seen. If you think about a red car, if you want to buy a red Camry, just start to see it everywhere. It existed already before. You never noticed it until you saw a vision of it. Then you begin to see it everywhere. Is somebody catching what I'm saying? Thank God for the dimension that Prophet Danso mentioned today in prayer. Intercession. You see, I'm very bothered about the culture of prayer we're building in the body of Christ today in Nigeria. I'm very bothered about it, man of God. Very bothered about it. This wrong culture of prayer we're building, it takes us years to correct it. It's not the first time a wrong prayer culture has been built. Those of us that have been in the gospel here, we've suffered many things. There was a time a culture of don't watch television was built in Nigeria as spirituality. And the people doing this, they're not doing it from an evil place. It's just, you know, misguided revelation. Don't watch TV. So Satan had taken over TV before we started to think of TV. So we are now paying Satan for airtime. They own media. And most media stations have an agenda. They have their own agenda. Somebody get what I'm saying? And they shape culture. So no matter how much you want to fight homosexuality, the guys in the airwaves, we spread whatever they want to spread. So now cartoons now have homosexuality. You can pray anything you want to pray. The TV will still control it. Airwaves. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So it took us years to change that culture of don't watch TV, to watch TV, to own TV. It's now, we are at the point of, we're now writing TV programming now. We're just, when the world have all the, the body of Christ was angry when Disney said they want to start showing. Why are they the one that have Disney? If they have Disney, they can do anything they like with it. You see, Superman now is not something. Why is that the one that owns Superman? They can turn him to gay. Superman can become transvest. What they call it? Is their product? Are you getting what I'm saying? So, church is the last place they use bench in Nigeria. Everybody has shifted to chair. We are the last to use bench. So there are some negative culture. There's a culture that was built sometime that was culture of every cockroach is a devil. Took us years to come out of that. Every cockroach fly. Hey! Somebody just bring fleets and spray to die, but fall and die. It's a devil. Negative prayer cultures. There are many things like that. We're not in under one where people just sit down every day. Somebody must pray for me. I can pray. Thank God for dimension prophet. You can't take authority by somebody's prayer. Especially on your own duty post. Oh, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. Prophet mentioned that there must be no gap. There must be no gap. You can't leave your own place to go and collect prayer. There must be no gap. That means you must take your place. You must stand. Someone can't pray you into destiny, sir. As powerful as Jesus was, sir, he had to pray for himself. And he told them, can't you pray for 1 hour? They were sleeping. Their destinies were almost scattered. If Jesus prayed for himself, sir, what's wrong with your own prayer? That's the series we're doing in the month of June. What's wrong with your prayer? Why can't you pray? That's the series we are doing in the month of... What's wrong with... The believers we are raising now think, I can't pray. Somebody has to pray. And if you're a man, you have no excuse. Your wife can even say that because you are the head. You as the head, you can't delegate that to somebody else. Who will you call? Are you here, somebody? No gaps.
You must take your own place. You must stand. That's the culture we are building. Somebody has to pray for me. What's wrong with your own prayer? They must hear your own voice. Is somebody getting what I'm saying, sir? Oh, I'm bothered about the prayer culture. Thank God for what prophet said. You must learn to intercede. There are dimensions of prayer. Every believer has access to pray. You can't delegate it to somebody else to do it for you. It's not Christianity. Glory to God. Come on, shout, I hear. He said, to a land I will show you. To a land I will show you. Vision is the main thing that happens in prayer. A land I will show you. God begins to show you things when you interact with him. He begins to show you things. And as a man that wants to stand, there is no money problem. There is no money problem. There's only a vision problem. The day you start seeing, the day you have the gift of vision, that your 100,000, like Pastor Lumide said, that your 100,000 to somebody that doesn't have vision is money to buy suya. The difference between the investor mindset and the spending mindset is what? Vision. Somebody seeing that 100,000 as I can turn it to 1 million. Another person seeing this 100,000 I can turn it to a party. I can turn up with it. I can turn this to a party. There's nothing wrong with Nigeria. You can make it here. But if the only vision you have, hallelujah, if the only vision you have is to go abroad, then you will stop seeing opportunities here. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? He said, to a land I will show you. Abraham's main thing was the power of vision. He said, a land I will show you. He said, I will make you a great nation. As a man, there's a nation inside you. And what's stopping it is vision. If you don't have a vision for a nation, you will only be eating what you have today. You will just see yourself as one small entity. I'm just here to survive. I pray for you. Every spirit of survival is removed from you in the name of Jesus. Amen. See, if you think survival, all the resources that will come to you is survival resources. If you think about posterity, all the resources that will come to you is that level. Provision. That means it's your vision that determines what they send to you. God won't send you money you don't need. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You say, the reason I've not invested in real estate because I don't have the money. No. You don't have the money because you don't have the vision. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. The money is not what controls you. Money is not what... You see, God has never been limited by money. We always start with vision. Money is not what's stopping you. It's vision that is stopping you. There is no need for God to send you $10 billion if you don't have a vision for $10 billion. You even have the capacity to receive it. You must start with vision. What is the vision you are seeing? And as simple as it looks, catching vision is the most difficult part. In fact, catching vision is so difficult naturally that it takes God to plant it in you. How could Abraham have seen a great nation from where he was? There's no way he would have seen it if God didn't impart it to him. Are you here, somebody? Came from a basic background. Nothing special was happening. God said, leave your kindred, leave your country, leave your father's house to a land I will show you. He said, I will make you a great nation. Do you understand? When God said, I will make you a person, I will make you a country. And that country is the most powerful country on the earth today, Israel. So I'll make you a great nation. Receive grace for vision. Amen. Glory to God. So, number one that made Abraham unique was vision. He could see. And today, what I want to challenge you is that begin to have grace for vision. You will see vision for your life. Don't be limited by what you are going through now. See, in fact, the only thing that will get you out of where you are now is a vision of a better place. The Bible says, without vision, the people perish. One time, I just said, they enter an inferior condition. Another said, they are frustrated, they are stranded. It is vision that helps you move from where you are to where you want to be. Many people are confusing plans and vision. Plans must be practical. Vision doesn't have to be. Did you hear what I said? Plans have to be practical. Vision doesn't have to be. What you don't realize is that plans are children of vision. And not the other way around. Plans are offshoot of vision. Plans must be realistic. Visions don't have to be. You must start with that vision that looks unrealistic first. Then God starts giving you a pathway to arrive at it. But if you don't ever have the vision, you will never think like that. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We underestimate the power of vision. Vision has a life of its own. Most godly visions have a life of themselves. Start with the vision. It can be anything. How rich, how wealthy do you want to be? Leave the how. Can we focus first on the what? How wealthy do you see yourself being? Do you see yourself? Anytime I travel sometimes, or even from some people ask me about Nigeria, say, how is Nigeria? I say, I don't compare my vision to Nigeria at all. That's the first thing. If you're going to help somewhere, you must be thinking beyond that place. You can't be trapped somewhere in Nigeria's problem and you want to help Nigeria. You can't help Nigeria. That's why it was Moses. God used to free the slaves. If Moses was a slave, he can't free slaves. Slaves don't free slaves. Are you here, somebody? So they had to take Moses out. He came from diaspora to come and free the slaves. That's the only way it can work. Now, you don't have to travel out, but if you have to at least get your mind out of the immediate stress so that you can think. You're going to bring an idea out of the box. You can't be in the box. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So we need people that can dream out of the natural. Every great dreamer must look stupid to the people he's with at the time. When Joseph said, they're going to bow to me, they say, what's wrong with you? It doesn't make sense. But you need capacity to dream beyond where you are. Say, a land I will show you. Are you here, somebody? I pray for a baptism of visions over everyone. I'm telling you, the moment you see life bigger than where you are now, you will start seeing resources. And resources are not only money. It's ideas, creativity, relationships. Are you here, somebody? Do you know there are people you've already met just because you were not positioned in vision, you didn't take the relationship with them seriously? Are you here, somebody? You just thought, I'm not in real estate now. So even though this guy is town planning somebody, I don't need him. So you just greeted him casually. If you were in that industry, there's a way you will shake him and collect his number and say, I'm even coming to greet you. Are you here, somebody? Vision makes the difference. What are you seeing? To a land I will show you. There's so many things, but I want to focus more on the vision of your family. I want to focus more on that because one of the areas we are noticing a gap is in the area of men in the family. Women already love family by nature. The first thing God gave a woman was a family. That's the first thing a woman ever saw in her life. The first thing a man ever saw when he came was a work. So men are work-oriented, women are family-oriented. But we notice that there's a gap in the place of family. Let's go to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. It's a short exhortation, then we'll go ahead and do the Q&A. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 3. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is what? Christ. And the head of the woman is what? Man. And the head of Christ is what? I can't hear you. I want us to say it together now. But I would have you know that the head of every man is what? And the head of every woman is what? And the head of Christ is who? So, there has been a gap. The structure is simple. God is at the head of it, followed by Christ. After Christ, God positioned the man. And after the man, God put the woman. But what has been happening since was that we've just had women, Christ, God. There has been a gap in the place of men. It doesn't mean there are no men on the earth. It just means that most times we are not standing in the full capacity that God has called us to stand in our homes. Even if you are single, it's now you need to learn what it means to be a man and what it means to be a husband. I travel around the world preaching about marriage. The main thing that people tell me about is that if we keep teaching these women all these things, where are the men? Most men are allowing the gap in the homes. We need to stop that gap. After God is Christ, after Christ is you. If you're a man, you're already a priest. This is why somebody can pray for you. You are a priest. Are you here, somebody? You must guard your own house. When I was younger, I was in Boy Scout. I loved those kind of things. So I was in Boy Scout. And in Boy Scout, they took us camping one time into some forest place. And they took us camping. They gave us cutlass. You have to build your own shelter. So we entered the bush, cut trees, you know, use palm fronts. We were in different platoons, so everybody built their own shelter. And the way it works, there must be a guard. I think it was a 2-hour shift throughout the day. So, throughout the night. So, if you do 2 hours, you wake the next guy up. He does 2 hours, you go and sleep throughout the day. So, it was my turn. They woke me up. And I was on guard. And there's always a security guy checking, making sure every guard is covering their own area. And if you're not covering, they will flog you. So, I was hearing people, they were flogging people. Bah, I was laughing. Say, somebody has slept on duty there. I was laughing. The next thing that happened, they were waking me up. While I was laughing, because they were going tent by tent, they had not reached my side. Before they got to my side, I had also slept. So they were just tapping me that I was sleeping under the flogging. The point is that's how you are a guard over your own tent. You can't delegate it to somebody. That's why this kind of teaching we did today is the kind of teaching we need people to learn the body of Christ. You are a prayer warrior. And prayer warrior is not a church function. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You can be prayer warrior in business arena. And you stand there. And you pray. I'm waiting for the day. See, that's why politicians are still messing up Nigeria. Because everybody thinks that it's inside church we are playing politics. I want to be head usher. You're wasting your political gift inside church. You're fighting for head usher. And HOD. That's what you're fighting for. Those guys messing up the country, if you interact with them, they're not even half as smart as the guys we have in churches. But we taught prayer warrior. You see, that's what happens when you delegate your spiritual authority. You are a priest. Do you understand? You are a priest of a home. You don't have to be a pastor to function as a priest and as a king. As long as you're a child of God, like prophet said, you are standing and bridging the gap between two different bodies. You are a priest on this earth. And your first place of priesthood is in that your family. So if you can't stand the gap there, if you see yourself as a non-entity, see yourself as somebody that is your pastor that must pray. No. This is why churches are flourishing, but our politics is not flourishing. Our business, because everybody thinks the prayer warrior is the pastor. No, when I'm praying for church. That's my jurisdiction. That's my place of authority. Are you here, somebody? We need businessmen too that will stand as a priest in business. We need people that will stand as a priest in politics. Until we do that, these guys will keep messing up the country. They'll keep doing whatever they like. And I told them one day in church, God is more a God of principle than a God of prayer. Many people don't know. That's why an unbeliever can be rich. Prosperity is not tied to you as a Christian. I get what I'm saying? Yes, unbeliever can be rich. The principle for having children is not prayer, it's having sex. And anybody can do it. I get what I'm saying? Now, if there's a challenge and the children are not coming by natural process, then like the pastor said, you bring super on the natural. You can't run an earth of 8 billion people by everybody bring your request. Which day will finish processing everybody's request? So God put it in principles. Those that want children, have sex. Don't come and report here and say children. No, have sex. We all have rest. Those that want money, invest. Don't come here and say, pray money, God, give me money. Okay, so if everybody get out and line up, get money, they will not be counting. You, how much do you need? 10 million, they'll count. That's what we'll be doing. God, put it, go and invest. Are you getting what I'm saying? But instead, because we want to be lazy, we want to delegate prayer to somebody, then we want to just somebody pray for me. No. I need people that will take their place in politics, People that will take their place in business. When you roar as a businessman in the realm of the spirit and you come out to the physical and take what is yours. Not everything you look for, pastor. Are you here, somebody? And that's why people are beefing pastors. That we have jet. It's poor people that are talking, saying that. And that rich man that has jet can never complain that a pastor has jet. Because we have too many poor people. If we have 20 members that have jet, we'll commonize. See, the cars we are using, our parents dare not use it at our age. I get what I'm saying. Mercedes Benz. You must be a very old man to have Mercedes Benz. When we're young. Pastor, you know what I'm saying? You must be a very old man to have Mercedes Benz. Now we are 20 something, you can have Mercedes Benz. If you have guys in tech are using bigger things than that. We need to commonize these things. And it takes people that take their place. You are a priest and a king. That means you must be so vast in spiritual things that you don't lose sense of your rulership in worldly things. And you are so solid in worldly things, it doesn't make you lose your kingdom understanding of who you are. Many people think I must be one. I must be so spiritually sensible that I'm worldly useless. Or I must be so worldly smart that I'm spiritually useless. You're a king and a priest. You must bridge the gap from the two. You can't say I'm going to work, that's why I'm not functioning in church. And you can't say I'm functioning in church, that's why I'm not going to work. Are you here, somebody? You're a king and a priest. You can bridge the two. So let's talk about the family a bit before I just hand over. This is just what I wanted to share with us. So the head of every... So it's, there's a gap there. In being that family man, that head man. In fact, it's called husband. Husband is from husbandry. Husbandry is like a farmer. Listen, guys. If you're going to be a good husband, then you have to be a good farmer. And the way we know a good farmer is by the products, the harvest they bring out. If you are married here, every year, people should look at your wife and be able to say, you are doing an amazing job. They should have to look at, I mean, I live in an estate where there are gardens. You know, I have, my present gardener doesn't know work because all my plants look dead. But every time I'm walking in my estate, I see other people's garden. And I'm about to move house somewhere else in my, and I've told them, once we move, disengages gardener. I said, the next gardener will pick. We're not going to put vacancy for gardener. We're going to look at grass. It's grass that we pick. And if you get what I'm saying, we're going to look anywhere that their garden is well kept. We'll ask them, who is your gardener? Before, we just said, we're looking for a gardener. Everybody apply. We just choose one. Only to find out all the grass is dying. This time, we're going to look for grass. The grass will share the testimony that I'm being well taken care of. That's how your wife should be. People should see your wife and be able to say, this woman is a well-watered garden. It's a well-kept garden. She should be fresher than when she met you. She should be smarter than when she met you. She should be better than when she met you. She should be healthier than when she met you. Some men, since your wife got married, your job is to push her down because you are insecure of your position. You are afraid that she's making more money. You are afraid of her talents, her gifts. Your job is to cultivate her. Cultivate her. She must come out better. That is your real task. You're a husbandman. You are a gardener. Let her come out better. You water her with your words. Ephesians 5 says, just the way Christ waters the church with the washing of the water by the word to present it to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. They say, you also as a man, you should water your wife with your words. You are beautiful. You are smart. Can't be among those men that call their wife witches. Say, you're a witch. Oga, where did you see a witch to marry? If you are not a wizard. It's in a coven, you bet. Are you here, somebody? If you are single, when you are looking for a spouse, God's plan for marriage is that two godly people, we have a godly relationship and bring godly seed. Don't just go and marry anybody you see because of her shape. Don't marry for money. That's the one you're needing for young men. Because they don't have a vision of prosperity, they think the only way to make it is to marry out of poverty. And you're marrying somebody you don't like. You're marrying her because she has an international passport. You're marrying her because you want her father to give you contract. That's not how to do it, guys. You need to marry somebody you would love because you're going to stay committed to this woman for the rest of your life. Are you here, somebody? Cultivate her. Glory to God. And lastly, when the Bible says, as a man, that you are the head, I've told you many times, it's not a position of authority, it's a position of responsibility. Many men think that means I can bully everybody. And that's why in Africa we generally fight those scriptures in Ephesians 5, because the word head or leader in Africa has a bad meaning. A leader is somebody that dominates you. A leader is somebody that squanders your resources. A leader is somebody that you can't trust. So when you tell women in Africa that the man is the head, they say, never. We will never submit. Nobody hates submission. They only hate the person they are submitting to. Nobody hates submission. Everybody submits. Most women submit. We've said this so many times. They submit in a salon. That woman that you think is not submissive, watch her in a salon. They control her about. Go to that chair. She will go. Sit down. Bend your head back. She will bend. Wash it. Stay in dryer. It's hot. Stay there. They control her about. She submits. The reason why she's submitting in a salon is because she has faith that they are making her finer. The reason why she's struggling to submit to you is that she doesn't trust your leadership. I was preaching to men in London. I was telling them about the fact that being the head means you must be accountable. You can't be a head of a home and you're hiding your phone. You're already a suspect. Why are we all leaving Nigeria to other countries? It's not because we hate submission. It's that we trust that the system there is solid, that if somebody wants to misbehave, they will put them in order. You trust the leadership system there. It's not submission that you hate. Are you here, somebody? So submission is not authority, it's responsibility. Submission must be born out of your love for your wife. You say, husbands, love your wife. And you know, that Ephesians 5, the only sad thing is that it's open for all to see. Ideally, Ephesians 5 is a breakout session. So God took the women and said, wives, the way to get your husband to do things is to submit to him and respect him. Men were not in that breakout session. Then he took men and said, look, the best way to get your wife to do things is to love her. Unfortunately, we now read each other's scripts. So the men are using what God told women. It's not you. They say, wives. But men are saying, you must submit. They were not talking to men. You were not even in the room when that was said. Are you here, somebody? So it's assumed you don't even have that information. The only information they gave you is, say, husbands, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself. You see, God has to explain what love means. Because if you just say the man, love your wife, say, I love her, I'm bringing money, and it's not because I'm working hard. No. Bringing money is not all that a woman needs. He said, love your wife the way Christ loved the church and gave himself. So I have a popular teaching I do titled Seven Things Men Should Provide. Most men think money is all. And like Pastor Olumide said, money is very important. So I didn't want to waste time on that because he has dealt with that. Money is important. But look, don't overvalue. The mistake is that we now get to the stage where we now overvalue the place of money and now throw down every other place. Money alone won't make a woman submit to you or love you. I know as Africans, that's what we've been passed down. Just make money. The woman will be happy. No. That means you don't know women. Eight out of the nine richest men in the world are divorced. You can't have money more than those guys. They are billionaires in dollars. Are you here, somebody? And they are divorced. King of Dubai. Many of you have either been to Dubai or you've seen picture. Dubai is one of my own favorite cities to visit. Skyscrapers everywhere. The king of Dubai is divorced 5 times. 5. Do you know how rich and powerful you have to be the king of Dubai? Are you here, somebody? And when I teach this amongst men, some men will come and say, Pastor, the reason why those men are divorcing is because of money. They know that they divorce, they'll have money. And I say, that's the proof you don't know women at all. It's men that dream half and half dream. Men dream, I will divorce and have money. I will have, out of fortune, I have 2. It's men that dream half and half. Women don't think half and half. Women dream to have it all. So a woman wants to have a husband, have a family, and have money. She doesn't have to dream to divorce her husband to have money. The only time she's considering leaving her husband just to have money is because she has lost hope and faith in love coming out of that marriage. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? No normal woman will throw away family. When she has married a billionaire, she has already married money. It's when there's no love and she has lost hope that love will ever come. So having money is not enough. Are you here, somebody? There are seven other things a woman needs. I'll just mention them in passing. And we'll just go to the, we'll do some worship and we'll go to the Q&A. So we've mentioned financial provision. That's number one. Okay? Do your best to be rich. And even if you're not rich at the time, show signs that you are working towards it. Just like Pastor Lumde said, he hit it on the head. If a woman says, I love you the way you are, it doesn't mean I love you to remain the way you are. All right? So as long as you're showing signs that you're on the path to making it, she'll be okay with you. And her job is to give back to vision. So, again, come back to vision. That's why you must have a vision. If you have a vision, she has something to bathe in you, something to bathe with you. Women have womb, not just physical womb, but they also have spiritual wombs. So when you put your seed inside them, it can produce. So, financial provision is one of it. Emotional security is one of it. If you're going to marry a woman, please be sure that this is the woman you want to die with. Let me tell you, as a man, as you grow bigger and grow older, there will be a big temptation to trade in your old model for a new model. It's my job, but this is what I encounter. Many men, as they get richer and wealthier, they begin to feel, I'm too good for just one wife. I'm too rich for just one woman. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So you must be ready to stay with one person till you die. So that's why you must, you know, marry who you really, really love. So financial is there. Emotional is there. All right? Shower her with love. Important for you to invest in her. Because as a man, let me tell you, as a man, you are one track minded. The way you are created, you have only one side to you. Women are more versatile. So they have many aspects to them. That's why you can do one thing today. It looks like you scored major points. You do the same thing tomorrow, you score zero. Because she has so many aspects to her life. She's not like you that is just... If a man has money, really, he thinks most of his problems are solved. Women are not like that at all. Their minds are, I don't know how to explain it. It's like, how many of you know tangerine? You know tangerine? You know it has many components, Abby? Many parts. That's how women are. So it's not one. It has many. So, emotional, very important. Third one is physical. If you're going to marry someone, please make sure you protect them physically. So you can't let your brothers or your parents insult your wife. You can't marry as a young man and 13 of your brothers are living with you. It won't work. Number four, I'm just mentioning them in person. You can't let your mother start insulting, because many men, they ask them, they come ask me things like, my mother needs money, my wife needs money, who should I give it to? That question itself is failure. Because the Bible is clear. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. When you get married, your wife comes first. Many men find this hard because they are still attached to their moms. Men have mommy issues. Girls have daddy issues. So many men are attached to their mothers. So they still see their mother as priority over their wives. That's not covenant marriage. In covenant marriage, therefore, shall a man leave his father. At the time that scripture was said, there was even no mother and father. God just laid it down because he knows African men. Go there, Genesis. There was no father and mother, but God was explaining how the covenant will work. Now, when you leave, you must leave to cleave. You can't cleave to what already exists. You must leave father and mother and cleave. Look at it here. Therefore, shall a man leave what? His father and his mother and do what? Cleave unto his wife. And they shall become what? So in order of priority, your wife comes first, in case you don't know. So you can't say, my mother and my wife needs money. The money is our money. It's me and my wife's money. We are one flesh. Are you here, somebody? You must protect her physically. From your mother, her mother sometimes. Your family, her family sometimes. Are you here, somebody? I hear men that say, I should leave my family because of my wife. Your wife is your family. Your mother is now your extended family. The people crack on the videos. If a boat is sinking and you see your mother on one side, your wife one side, the boat is sinking, who will you save? Let her husband save her. I will save my wife. Very simple. And my mother is a good woman. She won't tell me to leave my wife to come and save her. Other things confuse men, but it's plain, simple covenant in scripture. Are you here, somebody? You have not made any pledge to your mom. You've made a pledge before God to your spouse. You didn't choose your mom, you chose your spouse. You don't choose your siblings. You don't choose your mother. You don't choose your children. You don't choose your brothers. And they are all people that can leave you. Your children will grow and go. Your parents will grow old and go. The person that you have a permanent covenant of agreement with is your spouse. And God allowed you to choose it, being fair, because he didn't want to impose. The other one, parents, he chose for you. But thank God, it's not a permanent decision. When you go a certain age, you can leave the house. Children, many people want to trade in their children for new ones because their children are either stubborn or olodo in school. So you want to trade them in. God said, no problem, they will grow and they will go. But the one you can't go, the one you're supposed to live for the rest of your life, God said, I will allow you to choose that one yourself because you're going to stay there till you die. Are you here, somebody? So God views covenant higher than just biological marriage or biological family. Many men struggle with this. They think their family. See, blood is blood. Even the saying, blood is thicker than water. It's Africans that turned it to have a wrong meaning. The real meaning of blood is thicker than water is a covenant thing. It's talking about the blood of the covenant is thicker than the water that broke my mother's womb or that broke from my mother's womb. So the real meaning is that my covenant relationships are superior to just sharing in the breaking of my mother's womb with somebody. That's why the Bible says there is a covenant friend that sticks closer than a brother. Are you here, somebody? So the Bible always uses water to refer most times when it regards family or birth to you and somebody breaking your mother's. You know, when a woman is pregnant and she wants to give birth, the first thing that happens is that her water breaks. You understand that, Abby? So even in John chapter 3, when Nicodemus was asking Jesus Christ, I want to be born again. Jesus Christ said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That you must first be born again of water and then of the spirit. What was he saying? He was simply saying, natural terms. You must first be born naturally before you are now born spiritually. He said, you must first be born of the water. Then you're born of the spirit. That means you must be born naturally before you now talk about being born again spiritually. So he interpreted in the next verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Are you here, somebody? Number what am I? Number four. You must also provide integrity. You must provide integrity. This means trust. Men don't understand it. Trust is a major thing for women. In fact, scientists have found out that trust actually gets women excited sexually. Most men don't understand that. Trust releases oxytocin in women. That's the hormone that makes women happy. If your wife is not happy, you can't be breaking trust. You can't say you're coming back 2 o'clock and you come back 8 o'clock and you're expecting her to be happy. You say, but I paid the rent. So integrity. Number what am I in? Number six, you must provide accountability. Five. Anywhere I stop today, I'll stop. You must provide accountability. The video, full video is on YouTube where I taught it properly. Provide accountability. Listen, as a man, one of the gifts you must give your wife is the gift of accountability. It means she must know that you're a man under authority. Are you here, somebody? You must be a man under what? Authority. No matter how high you are there people in your life that if she can't get across to you, that she can call and they can talk to you and you will listen. Many homes could have been saved if the family had an authority figure that both of them listened to. They just think we can settle it ourselves. There's power in a third party. Are you here, somebody? When the Bible says, when we say you should avoid interference, we mean interference from people that are not important. But in real marriage, That third party is important. You didn't get married on your own. There were people when you got married. You need people throughout the marriage. Even if you want to divorce, you still need people. You don't divorce in secret. You still need lawyer. Are you here, somebody? So third parties are important. It's like Arsenal and Chelsea saying you want to play match. We are both London clubs. Let's play from our hearts. We don't need referee. Prophet Gasso is an Arsenal fan. Prophet, how come you don't see the scores ahead of time? He's an Arsenal fan. So Arsenal and Chelsea, we are both London clubs. We are brothers. Let's play with our heart. No need for referee and officiating. It can start like that. But by the middle of that match, one ball will cross. They'll say it didn't cross. It crossed. It will end with blue. That's how it is when you want to do marriage without having that authority figure in your life that can interpret sometimes. Many times when I've counseled couples, they are both saying the right thing. They're just saying it differently. I need to interpret for each other that this is what she's saying. It's not a bad request. It's a good request. Then I interpret for her. This is what he's saying. It's not a bad request. It's a good request. Are you here, somebody? So there must be accountability. When I first got engaged to my wife, one of the first things I did was I took her to my mentors, Reverend Sam Ademi, then Reverend Victor Ademi, and my pastor, Reverend Albert Oduwole. I said, look, if you can't reach me at any time, if you're talking to me and I'm not listening, and it's important, these are people you can reach. I listen to them. You must give your wife that gift. Don't be a headless head. This is why women struggle with submission. Because the way the scripture said it, they didn't say you're all authority. They didn't say all power is upon you. What they said is that the head of every woman is the man, yes, but the head of the man too is Christ. So the man too has head. Many men want to be headless head. If a man submitted to authority, to go a long way. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed so far? Come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Glory to God. Yes, you can rise to your feet. Glory to God. Take 1 minute to pray for yourself. If you are married already, you are praying from that position that you are married. If you are not married, you are already a potential head. You will marry one day. And you are going to be the mass, the person standing in the gap. You know what they said about Abraham? They said, I know my friend Abraham. He will command his children in the way of the Lord. So that's who we are following. He said he will command his children in the way. He will be the kind of man that will inspire his children. Can you take 1 minute just to talk to God this morning? Father, we thank you. We'll be the kind of men that will close the gap. We'll close the gap spiritually in our families. Mando so cabrada sata ligados. Ikadarata zata galababrada sata. We'll close the gap in our community. Zabruda sakadas. We'll close the gap in our churches. They will not be looking for men anymore when we are there. It's that I sought a man. But now we are here. Let's answer that call to stand in the gap. Mahande robosa kadali kazota. Shabrada sata le babrada sata. Samambrota sakade kaloba bradas. Let's stand in the gap of our families. Go ahead and also begin to pray for the spirit of vision. You will see the land he will show you. You will see the land he will show you. You will see the land he will show you. The area of business you will occupy. The area of politics you will occupy. Ma'anderebo sakadaya. Makasata legabas. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The men will see visions. The old man will dream dreams. Let vision come. Let vision come. Let vision come. Vision for prosperity. Vision to make progress. Vision for health. Maande de bosa kada yagadas leke zotos. Rabalagadas. 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 Le brodoboko satagalazatai. Thank you, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for all the men that are here, both young and old. Our eyes will be open. We'll be men of vision. Just like Abraham, we'll be men of vision. We'll see beyond our physical location. We'll see beyond our financial state. We'll begin to see what you want to do with our lives. I decree today for every man under the sound of my voice, Let your eyes be open in the name of Jesus. I said, let your eyes be open in the name of Jesus. You will see prosperity in Nigeria. You will see prosperity in your industry. You will see your prosperity in the area of your talents. In the name of Jesus. Where people are seeing poverty, you will see prosperity. Where people are seeing hardship, you will see ease. In the mighty name of Jesus. And you will have a vision for your family. You will see that family standing for God. You will see that family living for God. In the name of Jesus. You will stand in the gap. From today, you will not be missing in your own place. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand.